These are your dreams, dreams that take you to magical lands. You need to get away. It's time to take a break from all the bodies and the snakes. It's like a claw machine, but free. But first, I need to see some ID.
Free on your birthday.
Oh, it's like a hurricane of ice cream Saturday night.
Free on your birthday.
It's not technically tequila, but it's borderline.
Welcome to Free on Your Birthday, round three. You like that? That's what we should say.
Round three. No,
is that the Counting Crows?
Yeah, my little Counting Crows rendition.
Is the Counting Crows doing ring announcing? I like that. It's like a, it's like some weird like Jeopardy like before and after. It's
how, crossover.
This is the Counting Crows ring announcing.
Well,
round three. What is round three?
We'll see who can still stand up straight. All right, that was too far.
It was nice though. I liked it. It made me feel happy. Sometimes you need that.
Sip. You do need a little happiness. Can you? I'm curious how your hearing is right now.
I'm assuming not the best. Yeah, last night, for those unaware, I did have earplugs because about first three songs. Okay, so let me start over. Last night I went to see Metallica in a 19,000 strong attending metal audience that was there for almost 3 hours of rock and roll music, and it was intense. Like, I'm not gonna like put it off and say like it was just like fine. It was very, very loud, but I was expecting it, so I came prepared. The first three songs I was like, I got this, you don't need earplugs. And then I realized, like, if it was a song that I didn't know the words to, or like wasn't that familiar with, it was like they're on Hardwired or something that I didn't know, that like it became harder to listen to. Like, if it was me singing along with Seek and Destroy, which was like their second or third song, I was so into it that it didn't matter. But it was after that, because I'm not like the world's biggest Metallica fan. I like them a lot. I know the hits, but my deep track knowledge is pretty limited. So,
yeah,
like, once they started playing stuff I wasn't that familiar with, it was very impressive. But I was like, okay, I got to like take a breather here, or I'm gonna lose my mind. And with them, much like a lot of the jam bands I see, but I forget that because I think of them as like a metal band, kind of like when I went to go see the Misfits, who could play like 45 songs in a night in an hour. Yeah, but they're not like that. You forget Metallica songs are like 12 minutes long. So, you know, when they start rocking into certain songs, it's not like a okay, well, this will be over in 4 minutes. It's, oh no, this is going to happen. It happened. And overall, they were excellent. I think it was a fantastic show. If you haven't seen them and you like that kind of music, I think it's absolutely worth like going to visit and going to see them. I don't know if it would be a, like, I'm going to see them every time they come, which they've only come like twice in the last decade, so who knows? But, I mean, they sounded pretty darn good. I don't have too many complaints. I mean, they're not the tightest band, maybe, as they once were. But they're definitely playing live. You know, I think that's cool. There's something to be said about that now, where like I could, there were tracks certainly playing because they had like sound effects and, you know, quotes and like, you know, Winter Sandman, there's the whole like, oh, no, like the prayer, like the now I lay me down to sleep. Like that was all recorded. But other than that, I mean, it was not clean enough, I'd say, or not perfect enough to not be live. They were definitely playing. And there's something like cool and organic about that. So it kind of felt that way when I saw the Rolling Stones, that like, oh, this feels like a band. Like when you go see Paul McCartney, his band is so darn good that it almost doesn't feel live. Like it's just perfect. And this feels more organic, like guys actually who've been playing together for 40 years. It was cool.
Well, a couple of them.
Well, I mean, three out of the four.
that's true. When did Kirk join the band? Because he wasn't the original guitar player either, but he's been there most of the time.
I mean, he's been there as long as I can kind of think of, but I mean, how long?
Yeah.
I mean, he's 56 years old.
Justice for All. He's how old?
56.
Wow, Kirk Hammett is 56.
He joined the band in 1983.
Okay, so he's basically... Now, you know what? I just realized, am I saying... Have I been saying his name wrong? Is it Kirk or Kurt Hammett?
Kirk Hammett, with a K.
It is Kirk, with a K. I was right. Okay, good. I just want to make sure.
James Hetfield, Lars Ulrich, Kirk Hammett, and now Robert Trejo, and...
Right, I was a Danny Trejo.
Yeah, and he's been with them for almost 20 years now.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy to believe, but you're right, he has.
Yeah, I mean, he started... He's 54 himself. He started playing with them in 2003. So,
and prior to that, he'd been with the Suicidal Tendencies,
right?
Since
like
the
he's
80s,
been around.
So he's
forever.
Not a, yeah, yeah. And before that was Jason Newsted, who also was in a band called Flotsam and Jetsam for a long time. So they just, you know, they've been around. Poor Jason, that was a weird choice, but
yeah.
Oh well.
They did like a tribute to Cliff Burton, but they didn't do anything for anybody else.
No.
there wasn't like a, and here's our tribute to Dave Mustaine. You know, but it was cool. Like I really liked it. The show was fun. It was long. It was about, I mean, they went on stage at 8:45 and were done around 11:15, of nonstop rocking. Kind of, they did a real weird Loretta Lynn song in the middle. Cause I guess she was there, but it was only Kirk and
what?
And Trejo, and it was not great. And they knew it wasn't great. They were screwing up.
Who sang it?
Robert Trejo. I feel like I know I'm saying that wrong, so I forget.
He sings?
No, he doesn't. It was not good. And I think he knew it wasn't good. And the night before in Birmingham, they had played like Sweet Home Alabama, so we thought, okay, we're going to get something like iconic to Nashville. And I think they thought the song they picked was a... It's not that it's not a well-known Loretta Lynn song, but it's not a song that everyone knows and can sing along with.
But what is an iconic Nashville song? What would be an iconic Nashville song?
I thought, you know, they could have done like a Ring of Fire or something that's like a Johnny Cash or something like that kind of country music, George Jones. But instead, it was this weird Loretta Lynn. It's Loretta Lynn, like a song about country. I forget what it's called. Like, I love country. I'm not sure. But... Uh-huh. That sounds bad that I don't know, but I generally don't.
I think it's just weird that, well, not weird, I can't believe Loretta Lynn was at a Metallica concert.
Yeah, but Loretta Lynn and Aziz Ansari were there.
Okay.
And
one of those, I mean, I can see, I guess, although I don't know what he's doing in Nashville, but.
He was doing a week at Zany's. He's been doing them. Oh, okay. He's been here a lot doing stand up. And then yeah, they didn't have any other like special guests or anything, but Jim Brewer opened the show for like an hour.
Oh, really?
So they had no opening act musically. They had just Jim Brewer come out, and he did stand up for about 30 minutes. Killed. Yeah. Thought he did great. It was hilarious. It was all definitely tailored to the audience. It was like metal comedy.
Well, that's him, though. He's so into metal. Like, you know.
Yeah, so it's him talking about hanging out with Ozzy and the really good stories. And I mean, I thought it was great. And then it just kind of kept going. And he brought out another friend who is a comedian who DJed. And then they did what I can only describe as, like, they did like a backstage WWE-style segment where he's like, I'm here. We're about to bring up the band. And then, like, Lars jumps on the screen. He's like, hey, guys, let me hear you. Can you be louder than Philly? Come on. All from backstage in a video package. It was a little goofy. And then he came back out and they did what I can only describe as a like worship service to metal, which was they did like six songs with the lyrics up on the screen and had everyone sing along to, you know, a Highway to Hell and Ace of Spades. And honestly, it was really fun. Like, it was a great way to get to the show. The problem was it started at 7:30 and the band didn't go on until 8:45.
Yeah.
So it was a long build-up to bring them out. And then they still played, you know, 2.5 hours. So it wasn't like it was like – and they played a limited set. So overall, it was a really long night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't get home till close to 1 a.m. And it was a good show. I really enjoyed it. To hear songs like Seek and Destroy and Enter Sandman and Nothing Else Matters and even Fuel, like, because weirdly, that's like my era of Metallica. Like, that's when I was, that's when I was old enough to like, someone said at the office day, it's like TRL Metallica. That's when I was like listening. So to hear those.
Yeah, that's when they cut their hair.
Yeah, like that's my Metallica in a weird way. Like, I knew Enter Sandman, I know that, but like, I bought Loaded and Reloaded, you know.
Hashtag not my Metallica.
Not my Metallica.
I mean, that I did is like the that era where I actually fell out of Metallica. I didn't hate them. I just kind of quit listening actually quit listening to music in general for a while. So right around that time.
But, yeah. And I was, you know, came out in 1997. I was like 13. So it was like the perfect time to be like, give me fuel, give me fire. You know, like I was, had a lot of rage that was happening. I did like not a ton of talking, like no politics, which was nice, a refreshing thing. Like they didn't, you know, try to like do anything to their audience. It was just rock and roll. The talking was fun. James Hetfield, like you want him to be your best friend by the end of the show. Like you're like, this guy just seems cool and down to earth.
Really?
And did a great job really connecting with the audience. He walks out and he's just like, ah. Oh. Like strums, he's like, I see a lot of old people out there, you know, and a bunch of new dudes. He's like, I see a lot of middle-aged people out there going to work every day, raising their kids. And then he's like, and weirdly, he's like, I see a lot of kids out there. And then he's like, right here, how old are you? He goes, 8 year old. He goes, there's an 8 year old in the front of a Metallica concert. And there was. There was a kind of like now I feel like it's when my like parents were like talking about Kiss. It's like now it's like a generation where you're bringing your 12, 10-year-old to go see him. And it was cool. I thought he was really – it was really fun. The tech of this show was just wild. I could say that. For the big songs that I didn't know, there were these – every song had these it was in the round. There were these crazy LED, not very big, probably 6 foot – if you got close to them, maybe not even cubes that were full, like all wrapped completely.
They're mother boxes just floating up and down in the video you sent me.
Right. Yeah. And they switched out what they were, and they were LED screens and they moved up and down. It almost looked like you were looking at augmented reality. Like it didn't look real. And these things just moved continually throughout the show. And then at one point, drones fly in the air, like at that Disney thing they did a couple years ago, and start swirling around Lars. And, it was wild, and they had lighting all over the arena, so it wasn't just on the stage. There was lighting in the corners of the arena that fit in. So it just – I mean, if you're going to play in the round, it's probably the best way I've seen it. I never felt like they weren't looking at me. They move continually. Like, Hetfield, I don't think, did one song where he was on the same mic the whole time. Like, he would just keep moving. And it was great. It was – I got no complaints other than maybe the length and you know, I don't know. Like, Lars is very larger than life and very much is kind of cuts off this vibe. That, like, where Hetfield has this almost, like you said, like, you want to know him. Like, he feels kind of humble in a weird way to be doing this. Lars is the exact opposite. Like, if you didn't know he had cut his hair, you would think he was, like, the big-haired 80s rock star, worship me, I'm a rock god persona. Because after every song, he would – because he's right in the middle of the stage – that revolves, or he revolves a little bit, he would get up and like run around to each corner and just like rock fist out, just like, oh yeah. And I was like, okay. It didn't necessarily connect with me. But people seemed to like it. And like I said, they weren't like the tightest they've ever been, but it's kind of nitpicking. If you watch a video, I post a video of Enter Sandman, you can like hear it's not exactly perfectly, you know, done. But you know, they've been playing 2.5 hours at that point and they're 60.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm tired. So. Yeah. See, it's funny you say that because I've always felt like Hetfield has come off in interviews and things like kind of a jerk. Like, yeah. I've always felt like he doesn't seem like a nice guy. He seems angry. Although maybe I'm thinking what was that documentary where they all had to go to therapy because they were so like they were going to kill each other?
Monster. Someone's a monster.
Some kind of monster.
Some kind of monster. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, my era of Metallica was pre all that, so they were pretty angry.
Yeah.
There was probably a lot of other influences affecting their mood too. So
He talked about that. When they did it's from the new album. It's the one they actually did the drones on. What's it called? Moth to the Flame. He's like, this song
has a new album.
Yeah, it was like maybe a year ago. Something to deconstruct. Self-destruct. Hardwired to self-destruct. He's like, this song is about addiction, and I've tried every addiction. It's like, oh, okay. That's a interesting way of putting that. You could tell, though, that they took just seriously. I actually love that there wasn't a supporting band. I kind of hope Kiss does that, too. There's been, their tour starts in a couple weeks, and the last two times I've seen Kiss, the first time was with Buck Cherry. I mean, I just didn't care. Like, I mean, they were fine, but it just wasn't my thing. And then the next time was with Motley Crue, and Motley Crue just wasn't, they just weren't at their prime.
No, so. They stayed, I like Motley Crue, but they definitely stayed at the dance a little too long. Like, if you watch that final show, that special that they did, it airs on Access now and then. Uh-huh. I think it was like New Year's Eve or Fourth of some holiday. They don't sound good at all. I mean, Vince can barely sing anymore, and Mick Mars has that weird disease where like his joints are all stiffening so he can barely move. And it's like, you guys probably should have hung it up about 5 years ago. Maybe more, I don't know, but...
Hey, Bart.
Yes.
I have to step away for like 2 minutes. Do you want to entertain people?
Should I vamp? I'll vamp.
Yeah, vamp for I'll and be back. You don't...
Okay, if it's no good, he can cut it. Boy, important things happening in Nashville. By the way, we didn't address this, but I am not in studio today. I am in the frozen north of Chicago. It's not much warmer in Nashville, but it's like a degree right now here. Let's see. It's 3 degrees where I live right now. And it's supposed to start snowing in 3 minutes. That's exciting news, too. So, yeah, anybody else is in the Midwest right now and in the East, you're all feeling this nonsense, too. So, to all our friends down in Florida, shout out. I mean, I know you all think it's cold because it's like, oh, it's 60 degrees in Kissimmee right now. You people must be dying. Oh, it's going to get down to 58 on Sunday. All the theme park vloggers won't be out. And Wednesday, 54. Let's see, it's 31 in Nashville. So it's 3 here and it's 31 where Logan's at right now. So tell you the difference of what we're dealing with right now. Okay, so that's the weather report on Free on Your Birthday. When we were setting up here, I was doing a rundown of what's at my desk right now. A lot of Avatar action figures and my little plant, my money tree. A signed print of Sam Worthington from Avatar with his autograph. A stuffed dire horse from Pandora, the world of Avatar. Those of you who aren't familiar with me, I am the one guy who loves the movie Avatar, who's kind of obsessed with it, actually. So that's why. There's a little menu from the Magic Castle in L.A. I'm trying to think what's exciting I can talk about without Logan here. And I'm coming up short. Okay, it's time for a little coffee with Harry. Those of you that have watched my vlogs understand. So excuse me. I hope you all enjoyed a nice warm beverage on this cool day with me. Oh, there's the snow.
There, Bart?
I'm looking out my window, my office window.
Bart.
What?
I don't think you can hear me. Can you hear me, Bart?
I can hear you, but not through my headphones.
I didn't do anything.
Did now you? You're going to have to edit this thing.
I can't hear you at all. Well, guys, that's going to do it.
Hang on a second. Hold on.
This is beautiful radio, isn't it, folks?
You're... Talk now.
Hello?
There, you're back. You weren't coming through my buds for some reason.
I don't know. I didn't change anything. Did you, so like... Can you hear me? Are there a lot of cursing I have to edit out?
No, there's zero cursing. I gave a weather report. I described some of the things on my desk right now, and I had a little coffee with Harry.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm back. Sorry about that. I had a guest pop by, and I missed them anyway, so now I feel terrible. But it's all good. Where were we? You were talking about... What were we talking about?
We're talking about how Motley Crue doesn't sound good.
Oh, the Crue.
Anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they did their farewell tour a couple years ago? I saw them in 2012. And, I mean, again, maybe it's kind of like Metallica, where I'm not like their... I know the hits. I'm not like their biggest fan. And they're opening for Kiss, which is one of my favorite bands. But they did not sound great. And I don't think anyone...
No.
I don't think anyone, even them, would probably say, like, yeah, we were at our peak there. But now they have that new movie coming out. I think it comes out... I think it's on Netflix. They're doing a Crue, like, biopic.
Oh, really? With, like, actual actors playing them? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it comes out...
Is it The Dirt?
What? The Dirt,
Is it The Dirt? Oh, I didn't know that. They've been talking for years about... That was their autobiography that they wrote as a band.
Yeah, they
didn't know they were actually going to do
that. I think they've already announced when it's coming out. I'll take it. Coming out next spring on Netflix, or this coming spring, so in the next few months it'll be out. It doesn't seem like it's like the biggest quality production. I've seen like some of the screenshots or some of the like cast photos. I mean, I'll give it a shot. It says in theaters March 22nd, but I think that means it's going to be on Netflix. And Machine Gun Kelly plays Tommy Lee.
Huh.
Don't sound too enthused.
I know that name. I wouldn't know him in a lineup if I had a gun to my head, but I know the name.
You would know him if you saw him. He's a very popular hip-hop artist.
And he's playing Tommy Lee. Well, I guess that's...
Yeah, he's playing Tommy...
Playing a drummer.
Yeah, he's playing Tommy Lee. Is it Ian Rian? Is playing... who's he playing from? What's he from? I don't even know. I don't know who any of these people are. He's playing McMars, but he's from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
You got... Who is this here? I don't know who that character is, so I'll skip that. Nikki Sixx is being played by Douglas Booth, who you may know from Jupiter Ascending and Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Okay.
Romeo and Juliet 2013. I don't really know him.
2013?
He does kind of look like Nikki Sixx, so.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know who's directing this? Jeff Tremaine, the guy that directed all the Jackass episodes. Yes. He basically created Jackass with
Knoxville. What's his face? With Johnny Knoxville. Yeah. So Daniel Weber is Vince Neil. You may know him from the Punisher series. He played Lewis Wilson and Lewis Wellcott. You may know him from other things. In Sleeping Beauty, he played Spy Shop Assistant.
Hmm.
Okay. And then you have...
I don't know any of these people.
Yeah. David Costabile is playing Doc McGee.
Yeah, I see that.
And he is from Lincoln.
Okay. I like the guy that's playing Ozzy in his IMDb picture. I'm like, I don't know what he is, but he's got a funny picture.
Yeah, I know.
So why not?
I'm trying to see who he was in Lincoln. Lincoln, he was James Ashley in Lincoln. Yeah, and Tony Cavallaro.
Cavallaro.
Yeah.
Three Caballeros.
And he's playing Ozzy. He kind of looks like young Ozzy.
I can see
Ozzy,
that.
So I get that.
Yeah, he's got a bit of an Ozzy.
And he even has the kind of blonde Ozzy look.
And it says he was in School of Rock from 2016. Did they make a TV show of School of Rock that I'm not aware of?
They did. It was on Nickelodeon.
Oh, okay. Well, he was Dewey Finn.
Yes, I watched.
He was Jack Black.
I think I watched the first episode and was like, all right, it's not really for me. It was like a multi-camera sitcom.
Okay.
He was also in Heart of Dixie, which I know a lot of people watch.
He was also in something called Avengers of Justice, Farce Wars, and he played Beaverine. And this is, by the way, it says it's action comedy family.
He was, doesn't sound like it. He was also in Iron Man 2, The Table Read.
All right.
as Mickey Rourke.
Okay.
I don't know what that means, but I think we need to dig into it. But
Was it a Funny or Die thing? Maybe?
I mean, truth be told, I will watch The Dirt. Like, without a doubt.
I absolutely will.
It could be the worst movie ever made, but I will find time to watch it, especially if it's on Netflix. Like, it'd be different. If it was like a theatrical thing, I'd be like, I'll probably wait. But being that it'll be at Netflix, and I can just click it on and watch it. And hopefully it's fun. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take itself too seriously. I don't know if I need to see him injecting. What did they inject? Jack Daniels? That's a thing, right? They were like injecting Jack
Daniels. Yeah, I think so. I think I recall that in their behind the music.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my only point of reference.
Yeah, I'll watch anything. I'll watch any music biopic. I love them. Yeah,
especially like Walk the Line. Hair metal.
I don't care who it's... I don't even need to know who the band is. That's why I'm excited about the Elton John one, even though I love Elton John. I'd go see
it. I don't know this Elton John, but the Elton John one I want to see, but it threw me with the flying. That was all. I mean, I think a lot of times, like, I was introduced to people through sometimes their movies in a weird way.
Yeah, sure.
Like Selena. I didn't know much about Selena until the movie came out in 1997. Mm-hmm. I was not like, I don't know any other.
I even liked Rockstar, which isn't even a real story.
I love Rockstar. Rockstar is a great movie. I saw Love and Mercy, the one about Brian Williams. It's not my favorite, but it was good.
Oh, with John Cusack.
John Cusack and the kid.
Brian Williams is
Did
somebody.
Did I say Brian Williams? Brian Williams.
Yeah, he's the...
lying around just like Brian Williams did. Oh, that works. It works either way.
Yeah.
You just,
that double entendre.
Yeah, exactly. and that was the kid who played him. The guy who played Young, not Kid. I really like him. He's from, like, you know, There Will Be Blood and all those movies.
He's going to play Kid in the Kid Rock biopic.
Nah, it's called My Name is Kid. It has to be.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, what else could it be called? Ba Went to Ba? I mean, or Cowboy?
No, I think it's My Name is
My
Kid.
My Name is Kid.
But with like three D's.
Yeah. I mean, Eminem pretty much made his biopic right way early.
Who's a musician or musical act that you would want to see a biopic of that has not been done?
The Beastie Boys.
That's good. That's actually a good answer.
Like, I'm fascinated by them. Like, I think they were...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I never got to see them live. They're one of the few artists who I never got to see live who I love so much. But, I mean, there's so many eras there from their...
Oh, yeah.
80s era of, you know, fun, goofy, to then by the end making, like, instrumental prog rock, you know, like do it, not yeah, prog yeah. rock, but instrumental, like, jazz.
Being, like, Buddhists and trying yeah. to end all these apartheid. Yeah, and they start off opening for Madonna, which a lot of people don't right. know, and the audience didn't know what the heck was going on. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like I almost saw Lady Gaga open for New Kids on the Block, and then like she got popular a week before and pulled off the tour. she did the first leg. Like people know that 2008, New Kids mm-hmm. on the Block tour was opened by Lady Gaga, and then wow. the second leg of the tour she dropped off, and the Jabberwockies replaced her. It's no offense to the Jabberwockies, not exactly the same.
Not yet. Well, as we've already discussed on other podcasts, you and I are not the biggest fans of dance troupes.
No. It's not in my wheelhouse. Now, the Beastie Boys, they just put out a book that I haven't had a chance to read yet called just Beastie Boys book that I think is their story. And it's more like a coffee table book. And Mike D and Ad Rock were doing a lot of like, they did the Tonight Show. They've been showing up a lot more. So there is like part of me that hopes mm-hmm. that they'll do something. They always kind of said that maybe they'll do more music at some point. But so far, this is the first kind of thing kind of released under the Beastie Boys brand in a long time.
Yeah. Now, I'm surprised you didn't answer this because say it this way. But I honestly, except you'd never be able to do it without their involvement, which means it would not be honest. I'd love to see a Kiss biopic.
Oh,
like
yeah.
an honest Kiss biopic.
Yeah.
With all the warts and all. But the thing is, I don't think Gene Simmons would ever allow that.
Yeah, I don't see that. I mean, they did the Detroit Rock City, which wasn't about them at all. Right. But they were, you know, it was kind of their movie, which also I think is that the same kid? No, I think it's a different kid. But yeah, I'd like to see it. I mean, he's done lots of books that were pretty honest. I mean, they're from his point of view. Really? But.
Okay.
I'd say it's kind of similar to like Bohemian Rhapsody, clearly from their point of view. It's not.
Absolutely.
You know, it'd be like that. So it's like, yeah, Ace is not made out to be like the best dude. But Ace had his problems and Peter, and they all had their own issues, and they all still do have their own issues. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it could be done, but I think they've moved so much in their branding. And I've been kind of, you know, obviously listening to and watching a lot of Kiss is heading into their farewell tour. Their branding the last 10 years has shifted so dramatically from Peter or from, you know, Gene, Paul, Ace, and Peter to, you know, the Demon, the Star Child, the Catman, and the Spaceman. Now, largely to do with two of those are replaced members now.
Right.
But I think because that's the brand they want to keep going. Like if you watch the Scooby-Doo meets Kiss, I don't think they're mm-hmm. ever referenced as not their character, if you will.
As their characters.
They may say Gene and Paul, maybe, but I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like most of the time they say Star Child, the Demon.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, and that's what they're, because I know, and everyone said that their long-term plan is not for the Kiss brand to go away in 3 years.
Right, it's to basically license it, so to speak.
Yeah, license it or to keep the two guys who are currently in the band as portraying the Spaceman and the Catman and then replace it with two mm-hmm. other people who are going to replace the Demon and the Star Child and keep it going probably in smaller venues. And, you know, I'm actually all for it. I think that'd be cool. I don't mind at all. But I don't see them doing it. It would be cool, though, because, I mean, they have so many great stories, whether it was meeting, you know, in New York and Gene coming out of Israel and making his way to America to find the American dream right. and then becoming friends and then getting Ace and, like, going to weird stores in Times Square, we'll say it that way, to get their first gear. And like, there's so many fun things. Like, that first few years would be so much fun to see.
Now you're making me want the movie even more.
I know. I mean,
you could probably end the movie in the 70s and still have an amazing movie.
Yeah, if you told it up till like Alive or even like just yeah. just those first, you know, 74 to 78, you know, before pre-dynasty, yeah. That'd be really cool. I would love to see that.
But see, now, if it were me, if I were advising Gene, and why wouldn't he listen to me? Sorry, coffee break. I would take what they've done with the Scooby-Doo thing and kind of the what is it, the Phantom of the Park?
Mm-hmm.
What was the movie from the 70s?
Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
I would follow a route like that and just turn the band into like an actual, like a kind of a superhero franchise.
Yeah.
Either animated or some other way and just say, okay, we're done making music, but we're going to, or at least we're done being a regular stage band, but we're going to take it this and do like fictional features where it's, and you could even bring in like the Fox and the Ankh War, all these other characters, almost like the Power Rangers of Kiss. You know what I mean?
Oh, I would love that. They do that as a comic. There is a Kiss comic that's kind of like that,
yeah.
But it all revolves really around them as a band. Like it's like, they're still kind of like in Scooby-Doo and Phantom of the Park. They are still Kiss the band, but they're also mm-hmm. these characters. It would be cool to kind of just break apart. They tried to do that in professional wrestling. There was the Demon, which was supposed in WCW, was supposed to be the first, Dale Torborg, was supposed to be the first entry into Kiss having these four personas, obviously the characters, that would be a wrestling faction, but it ended up being the lowest rated segment in the history of WCW Monday Night Raw was the segment they premiered him with a performance by Kiss, which at the time, especially 1997, 1998, they were still kind of on their comeback majorly, you think would have been huge. And it just kind of tanked. And it was kind of unfortunate. But I'd love to see that. I think there's so much colorful characters and life in that, you know, whether it's Bill McCoy or whether it's, you know, all these people that they run into and, you know, them discovering. Did they discover Bon Jovi? I think Bon Jovi, and they discovered Cheap Trick, I think, a bunch of these bands that opened for them. You see the list of people that opened for Kiss on those first few tours. It's wild. It's like some of the biggest bands in the world kind of came out of their little bubble. I still go to the Beastie Boys because I feel like they're more humans for some reason. Yeah, I don't know what that means. But but I think they would be the kind of people who would tell a story that would be honest. Though I don't know them.
What would you call it? What would you call a Beastie Boys movie?
The obvious are like Fight for Your
No
Right.
Sleep Till Brooklyn.
No Sleep. Oh, No Sleep Till Brooklyn. Yes. Paul's Boutique.
No.
Oh, man. Hello, Nasty. Check Your Head. That'd be good.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad, actually.
License to Ill.
But there was a movie about the monkeys called Head.
Paul Revere.
So
it's the most confusing title ever. Are you going to see that movie, Paul Revere? Yeah. It would be great. It starts, here's a little story you got to tell. It's like, oh.
A bunch of senior citizens lined up at the matinee. What? Finally, some good historical fiction.
Here's a little story about to tell three fine fellas.
Throwing beer cans, kicking beer cans off the stage, eating White Castle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is the same Paul Revere.
This is not even my second Paul Revere, which is Paul Revere and the Raiders.
And the Raiders.
Yeah, you may know them from their song, They Took Kicks. The Whole Cherokee Nation. That's all I think of.
Wow, boy, you went to a weird Paul Revere reference. I don't even know that one.
What? That's like their biggest hit. Cherokee people.
That was Paul Revere and the Raiders?
Yeah.
I know him from the song Kicks.
No, I know them from Cherokee people. And then that was
see.
It's definitely Paul Revere. I know it is Paul Revere and the Raiders.
It might be. I'm not disputing you. I just didn't realize that was Paul Revere and the Raiders. Let's see. Oh, wait. I think they do one of my favorite songs by them ever, which is Little Red Riding Hood. Isn't that them?
I don't know. I only really know the Cherokee Nation song.
Little Red Riding Hood. Oh, maybe that's not Paul Revere and the Raiders. Never mind. Kicks, Indian Reservation.
Yeah, there you go. Indian Reservation.
They actually have about two songs. They did a version of Louie Louie.
Yeah, it says their number one song on Spotify is I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. I'm like, that's not the version I know.
I know that from the beat, from the Monkees.
Right, Beatles. That's what I know too.
the other band.
But the Indian Reservation song, it's a great one.
So who sang Red Riding Hood? Oh, I bet it was Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
I don't know the word you just said. Sam the Man and the Pharaohs?
Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. They sang Bully Bully.
Okay, I know that one.
But they also did a song called Little Red Riding Hood, which was featured in the movie
How do you spell
Striking
Sham?
Distance. Sham. No, it's not Boo Sham. Well, there's the title.
Just Sam Sham?
Boo Sham. Sam the Sham. S-H-A-M.
Sam the Sham. I found it. Okay.
Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
I thought it was Sam Little Buscham.
Sam Buscham.
Hi, I'm Sam Little Buscham. Red I'm running for Senate. they did the song Hanky Panky.
Okay. My baby does the hanky.
Yeah. Wooly Bully.
We're getting old.
Wooly Bully. Yeah, we're like, we are alienating everyone now. Yeah. They're like, these guys just went on about Sam the Sham.
Play this episode for your grandparents. Yeah, play this episode for your grandparents. They'll appreciate it.
Yeah, remember that Wooly Bully?
I remember, I don't know why I thought of this, but when I was a kid and we'd spend summers with my grandparents, my mom's parents lived in an apartment in Indianapolis in like a retirement community, and I was in the little spare room, and I'd gotten a record from some used record store. It was a Happy Days record, but it was really just songs from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was playing Splish Splash. I was taking a bath, and I was kind of like dancing around in the room, I guess. I was probably about 8. And I remember my grandmother opening the door. This is when my grandma smoked. It was during her stories. So she opened the door, and she's holding her Virginia Slim in her finger, and she goes, well, what are you listening to there? That's a rocking record. to this day, I
Splish Splash, Grandma.
Splish Splash, Grandma. You should know this.
Yeah, that's too new.
That's the thing. She was probably already had an adult job at the time that song came out.
Yeah, exactly.
She was working at JCPenney's in the secretary pool, smoking cigarettes at her typewriter. She used to tell me that story all the time. She started smoking because it was just rows of women at typewriters smoking cigarettes and typing away.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. A lot of my friends in like the film industry, they just start smoking because you got a break.
Yeah. Something to do.
The eternal break.
Yeah, you know. For sure.
The new, I've been trying to, a bunch of new, like, artists, coming to Metallica, there's a bunch of, like, not new artists, but new records that came out this week, or kind of records that came out this week from, like, people that I grew up listening to. So, like, the Backstreet Boys dropped a record today, I've been listening to that a little bit. But also, like, Vampire Weekend, who remember, like, they were kind of popular 10 years ago, 2008, maybe? They're kind of switching it up, and I don't know if I like this. You tell me what you think. So what they're doing is they're releasing a double album, like old school double album, but they're releasing it over the course of a year in 2-song increments.
That's weird. So maybe that's better.
Like I'm sure it has to do with the way tech and the way people listen, and mm-hmm. I'm sure it's not just like this, you know, plan, but they just released 2 songs. They're fine. They're good songs. I have no problem with them. One is 5 minutes long and one is a minute and a half. But they're doing that, and then the end will like culminate with a full record. It's kind of cool, but it is like, I feel like I'm just getting a taste, and then it's like, oh, sorry. Now I got to wait a month. So, I don't know. And then that, and then like Weezer dropped the Teal album overnight.
Yeah, what is that? I saw like a graphic from that. Is that thing that Africa is on?
Yes. So they released...
Is it all covers?
It's all covers. And it's pretty much a like joke that. Record, I'd say in some ways, because it's not a joke, but it's like, I think they wanted to put Africa on something.
A lighthearted attempt.
Yeah, because the next album is the Black Album, which comes out in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So this came out, you know, they're kind of Miami Vice-y looking on the cover. And It's all covers. My only gripe with it, because like, I love Weezer, is they're just like Africa. They're all, it's like they said, let's recreate a note-for-note version of these songs. Like there isn't
so
like
nothing new.
It just doesn't feel like there's heart in it. It doesn't feel original. And that's kind of a bummer because I kind of want like a rock cover of these or a Weezer-ish cover. But instead, it's like, I mean, you'll listen. It's just they sound so close to the original ones, except for with River singing that I don't know. I like it. It's a fun look. I love the idea of just throwing away a record like in the middle of the night, just being like, here it is. Have fun. So for that, it's perfect. But like, they do No Scrubs by TLC, which I was like, this is going to be awesome. And it just sounds just like No Scrubs. Like, it's not, there's maybe a little bit of a little bit faster.
At least it's guy singing, though. At least that's a little
bit. Yeah, it's Rivers. It's just like a guy going, guys and guy, things to fly. Like, but it's like the same.
Africa has nothing new to it. And I like it, but.
Well, I mean, the songs are Africa, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, which, as you can imagine, would sound kind of like Africa. Like, it's in that Sweet Dreams Are Made of These, Take on Me. Happy Together, Paranoid, Mr. Blue Sky.
That's interesting. Yeah. All right, I'm into this.
Mr. Blue Sky, which sounds just like it. No Scrubs, Billie Jean, and Stand By Me.
Okay. I'm going to download. Is this available now?
Yeah. It's absolutely worth a listen. I think it's fun. Something to put on the background.
It's no Sam Buscham, but it's all right.
This is a very music-heavy episode.
It is. I was going to say when we were talking about shows that the Rolling Stones are touring again, but I looked up
tickets
the other day, and it's insane. They're playing Soldier Field here in Chicago, and to sit literally in the nosebleeds, like to sit on the roof basically of the building, was $250 a ticket.
Yeah, I saw them maybe 3 years ago at Nissan Stadium here, and it was like $150, but we were like in the first bowl, lower bowl. And
yeah, I have to say,
it's unbelievable. It is absolutely worth going to, but that's a hefty portion.
That's $500.
Well, I mean, that's like Metallica was hundreds of dollars. My brother peer pressured me into it, and he bought merch. He bought two shirts, and it was $90.
Your brother likes the merch, though. I noticed that.
He does. He's a merch man. But I like looked at it and was like, where am I going to wear this? You know, yeah, that's how I kind of saw it. And
is it like their old shirts where it's like a big skull?
Oh, yeah, big creatures. And I mean, they were cool, but they were also like, I feel like I could get them at Target. It was, you know, it was like, I can get this at Target for $18, or here I can buy it for $50. But by the time we talk again, I will have seen Cher for the third or fourth time, debatably.
Ooh, goodness.
I'm going to see Cher. Now, I understand that a lot of these acts have to charge these crazy amounts of money at this point. They don't have to, but that's because it's like the sole way they make money. Because whatever Spotify's playing them and Apple Music is not enough to generate. So I get the ticket prices have gone up because of that. But there are some times where I feel like it's going to, hopefully at some point, but I don't know if it will. I mean, the economy's good. Things start shifting. Because someone like Cher, we're going. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, I could see kind of ticket prices, even face value in these weird Ticketmaster official resale platinum seats, the price has started to fluctuate. And then, you know, they aren't set in stone anymore. It's not like this seat is $500 and it's going to be $500 till day of. A lot of times it's $500 at the beginning. And then they close out the VIP time and then that drops. So that happened with that happens with a lot of events. That happens with the WWE. I know that for some of their like VIP experiences, you can have someone sitting next to you paid $30 and you paid $300 just because you got in early and they decided, you know, they got in late and they dropped the VIP perks sometimes or there's not enough time to fulfill the orders. But I've noticed that's kind of the trend is really on the front end, pack it hard with these crazy tickets. And then as you get closer, the unsold ones, if there are any, like Metallica, there was not. It was completely sold out. But with Cher, like I've seen it kind of wobble a little. Kiss, I'm seeing it wobble a little. They're starting to throw in different things. If you're not selling out a full arena. But yeah. Hmm. So next time we talk, well, I don't know, because I'll next Thursday, I'm going to see Cher.
So you may or may not have. Well, the next time, not the next time we talk, but the next time we record in person,
yeah.
I will have, no. That's a lie, too. I'm sorry. It'll be short the week after that. I will be seeing a legend, finally, that we've discussed. That's on my bucket list. So we'll be able to talk about that.
But well, we'll keep that as a surprise.
Something that's not coming up for weeks.
I don't know who it is. Do I know who it is?
I haven't told you, but it's someone we've talked about.
Oh, I have an idea.
my wife got the hookup.
Oh.
I was looking on something online, and it said, do you want to go see Billy Idol? And I was like, I've never thought about that, but now that you ask me, I kind of do. So I looked it up, but he's playing a small theater in Joliet, Illinois, which is south of me. Yeah. It's a casino town. He's doing a theater there, and it was like, it's a super nice place, but even he was getting like, to sit up in the balcony, like it was $98, not counting fees and whatnot.
Yeah, it's hard to justify. I've actually seen, like with a lot of these acts, and is if you have a bunch of friends that will want to go, it's like contact weirdly like the suite people. Because often the price to rent a private suite would be cheaper, like a skybox would be cheaper if you all split it up than
sure
to get two or three tickets. Like that's just the truth. And that's crazy. But I think because those rental rates, I don't think are determined by the band. I think those are determined by the arena. And they're just trying to get people in those. So often those are going empty. And, you know, I have a guy who I've booked him with at Bridgestone Arena. And he will occasionally send me a, hey, if you'll come to this, we'll work out a sweet deal, throw in some hockey, do some stuff. Because they know that the ticket prices have gotten somewhat out of control to where you can, it's weird that like that's a better alternative. I saw Nate Bargatze on Twitter or on Instagram. He went to an LA Kings thing and got a suite for $40 on StubHub. Because these people, suite owners, sometimes will list them. So look on StubHub for suites. Often that'll happen too. If you don't go through directly through the arena, you can at least get like seats in a suite. Now there'll be some randos, and it's kind of strange to probably be in there with a bunch of people you don't know.
Seats in a suite. Yeah, but for really want to see him.
Yeah. But for Cher, and Cher has opening for her, Nile Rodgers and Chic.
Oh, really?
So, wow. Well, here, I played Will because he's going with me. And I was like, you know this. And I played like, Freak Out. And he was like, I thought this was just a song from an ad campaign. He's like, I just thought the song was made.
It was a real song.
I thought these were made for commercial songs. But he did go through. He's like, I'm not going to know any of these songs. And then I played him like Cher's set list. He's like, I know every one of these songs. Yes, you do. Because she doesn't only do her hits.
I don't know why Chic and Cher made me think of this, but we should probably do an update on The Masked Singer. By the way, before we wrap here, I have a new theory. So I don't know if we discussed on the show that we both kind of agreed we thought we knew who the rabbit was.
Yes. You've changed.
Well, first of all, let's talk about when you and I watched it last time I was down there, Tommy Chong went home, which we called right away before they even unmasked. We knew who it was immediately.
Yeah.
Last week. Should we spoil this? Does anyone really care if we spoil the Masked Singer? I've had the last 2 weeks.
We're going to be wrapping up the show. So if you don't, you can stop.
Yeah. End it now. It was Terry Bradshaw, which I thought it was Peyton Manning.
So did I. Because they threw things to make you think that way.
Yeah, exactly. Now, last night, I had called from that first week that the poodle was on that I thought it was Margaret Cho, except I didn't think the musical family thing made any sense, but whatever. And I was right. It was Margaret Cho. Now, we both seem to think that the poodle was JC from NSYNC, right?
Not the poodle.
That's what I thought. The rabbit. Because we knew it was somebody from NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, and then he said something about, it's going to be me. And then I sent you a picture of, apparently from his solo album, the cover was him in a straitjacket.
Right.
Just like the rabbit. But last night, one of his first clues was I grew up around and worked in, I forget what he said, but he was in an amusement park, which Orlando. And at the end of his little clip, he threw hot dogs at this. Well, I just lost my earbud. I'm so excited about this. He threw hot dogs at the screen.
Okay.
And I'm like, maybe. Even my wife was like, it's Joey Fatone.
That's what Amanda said it was Joey Fatone, she thought.
But even what did Jenny McCarthy say? I know Joey Fatone. That guy's gut isn't as big as Joey Fatone.
Yeah. And I don't think. Can Joey sing like that? I don't know.
I don't know what Joey Fatone's voice sounds. I don't know what any of their individual voices sounds like except for Timberlake.
Yeah.
But if you look at that rabbit in the wide shots and emphasis on wide, he's a healthy boy. He does have a gut.
Then maybe
so
it is.
I'm convinced now it is Fatone. And I can hear Fatone's speaking voice in that rabbit singing voice now.
Yeah, I definitely
think
it's
the weirdest sentence I've ever said.
I think it's an NSYNC person because he even said this time, I've been boxed in and had like sort of like the marionette, the bye 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 video. It's like, it's definitely an NSYNC member. I still lean on JC, but maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
I was leaning heavily on JC, but I think and Fatone loves a reality show.
That's it. If you were just telling me who would do it more likely, I feel like Joey Fatone will do it.
That dude has never met a reality show he wouldn't do. And I don't blame him.
No, he's kept his career going, man.
Now he's hosting something on Game Show Network. He's got his own show now.
Well, good for him.
So I just saw that in the gym. But yeah, I've seen now twice, the last 2 weeks in a row, like the internet and television have spoiled who went home like the next day. I'm like, I don't get to watch it the night of usually. I have to watch it the next day. So yeah.
We've been trying to, because of that, watch it live or get close to live. They start 20, 30 minutes late. Our DVR messed up this time, so we missed some of it. But I don't know. I feel like the first 2 weeks, or maybe three, is this the fourth episode that just aired?
Yes.
Okay. The first 3 weeks, I was like completely enamored with this show. The first week, I was like, this is great. The second week, new people, I was like, this is great. Now, maybe it's because it's like Margaret Cho, you knew and guessed. We are almost sure that one is Donny Osmond. Like, they're, and almost to the point where I think you could tell that they edited out her saying, I know who this is. It's Donny Osmond. They cut out that. Mm-hmm. I can almost tell, see it, Jenny McCarthy say that, and they cut that down. That, I don't know, not that it's losing its luster. But it's more like, all right, I want to, like I kind of wish they unmasked four a night.
I do too. Or
you know, like
two.
Move this along. Like it's starting to get to the point where I'm getting not necessarily bored with it, but it's not like I'm there for the musical performances.
And I also feel like they've unmasked the ones you care the least about.
Yeah.
In order. Like a football player nobody knew first, and then Tommy Chong, which I like Tommy Chong, but who knows if the rest of the world does now. And then what's this? Bradshaw. And this week, Margaret Cho. Now, we know the B is Gladys Knight. There's no question now that it's Gladys Knight. And I would say there's no question that Peacock is Donny Osmond.
And I feel like one of them wins.
I have no idea who the monster is, although I think it's Kenan. It sounds like Kenan Thompson.
I hope so.
But I don't think he would do that show in a million years.
I don't know. He showed up to that weird Mighty Ducks reunion. Did you see that?
That's true. That's
and
true.
He was the only Raven, like star that was there.
That's true. And the Raven is definitely Ricky Lake. Because she's made a couple John Waters references. So, but yeah, I know. I'm trying to. It's not even that I'm losing interest. I'm so frustrated of the ones that I don't know that I'm sick of them playing games with me.
Maybe that's like, what it is.
Unmask somebody good, or I'm going to just lose. I'm going to give up on the show.
And maybe that's what like, it is, too. It just seems like kind of disappointing.
Yeah, because, it's like, I don't really care that that's who that is. You know, like, I love Margaret Cho, but even then I was like, okay, whatever.
Well,
you
it know, made it kind of believe it was going to. And even starting with. Oh, of course, now I'm going to Antonio Brown. Like, you led with, like, these are going to be humongous people in their industry. And then I feel like it's like, Margaret Cho was great. I love Margaret Cho. No problem with her. But, like,
15 years ago.
I am surprised that some of them haven't been like, who is this? like, from afar, they're definitely in their ear. It's Margaret Cho. Okay, great. Tell Nick Cannon. Make sure he knows.
When I'm wondering, like, I'm dying to know who the alien is, especially after that weird Gene Simmons tweet that you and I discussed.
Now, Sophie Simmons said it's not her.
And I don't think it is. And she said, I have many sisters. She's talked about her sisters multiple times.
But why did he post it?
I don't know. Who else could... Is he associated with anyone else? Does he manage anybody? I don't know. I don't get it. It's not his...
I just like the message.
It's not Shannon. She's too tall.
It is Shannon.
She's too short to be Shannon. She's too short. Though. Even Nick Cannon says she's
Shannon's
tiny.
Shannon's sister that was on the show. We're stretching for what's considered... You know,
celebrity.
Yeah. I like her. She was hilarious in their show, but it's not like it's rolling off the tongue of a lot of people. So,
you know, they did say someone guessed Paris Hilton last night, and that almost seems to. Except she only has one sister too, so I don't know. And I don't think does she ever count because the girl said you may think I'm out of fashion. I'm like Paris Hilton, was she ever considered a model? So I don't know. Whatever. The show is driving me crazy, but I am getting frustrated with it.
What frustrated me is they put stuff in there, and I think that's why I was like, okay, this is where I don't like the being thrown off intentionally.
Right.
Like they did for the Terry Bradshaw one. He's like, I love horses. And it's like, well, then clearly you were trying to make us think that it was Peyton Manning. And then they were like, that refers to the fact that he owns racehorses. I'm like, no one knows that.
Oh, last night with Margaret Cho, they're like, when she said, I'm here for your honor, it was a reference to this show she did on Lifetime that nobody ever watched. It's like, who the heck would have known that? Apparently, she played a lawyer or something in a Lifetime TV show. I think it was called Drop Dead Diva, actually. Yeah, I was like, no one knew that.
That's a stretch.
That clue meant nothing. So I was like, is it Ming-Na Wen? Because that sounds like, isn't that a song from Mulan? Please bring honor to us all, or you'll bring honor to us all. That would make more sense.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ming-Na Wen!
Yeah, which again, I'd be like, that's awesome, but most of the world would be like, huh, who? Like, although she's on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., isn't she?
Yeah, and who's that? Like, I just kept thinking, like, the girl who was Moana, Alawi Cravano! Speaking of Moana, I know we need to wrap up here. Do you see that The Rock, it just made me think of The Rock because of Maui, that Roman Reigns is going to be The Rock's brother in the new Fast and Furious spinoff film.
Really?
Fun fact. It's Fast and Furious. I like the way they're calling this. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Man.
I like their calling.
I don't know anything about the character, but he posted a picture on Instagram the other day where he looked like a monster. I'm like, I mean, he's always.
The Rock?
He's huge. Yeah. He posted a picture. Was like, that's not even human.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's gigantic. And he posted a picture with Roman Reigns, and they're in. Like, there's a car exploded behind them, but they're almost in traditional, like they're kind of dressed like Maui.
Well, that's this picture, because apparently there's some a Polynesian tie-in to Hobbs and
I see that picture. Holy moly.
Where he's, like, kind of in silhouette.
And
it looks like he's killed a bunch of people.
Whoa.
I'm like, what does this have to do with race cars?
He's also wearing khakis. It's odd. Yeah. He's wearing, like... That's the Shaw and Hobbs and Shaw. Hobbs and Shaw.
And the comment says something about, you know, my Hawaiian heritage or whatever. I'm like, what? What movie? Because he's making a movie about King Kamehameha eventually. I thought, well, maybe that's what this with Back to the Future. Bob Zemeckis. Bob. I called him Bob again.
Bobby Zemeckis.
Bobby Zemeckis. They're making a movie about King Kamehameha. And I'm like, well, is that what he's talking about? And I was like, no, Hobbs and Shaw.
I just sent you the picture with him and Roman. Which, for all you wrestling fans, I have to say, it's kind of weird to see Roman Reigns without a shirt on. Because you didn't usually.
His name is John. Oh, yeah, they are dressed kind of like traditional. But then, look at the size of him.
But then behind him, he's a car on fire. So it's feels a car very fire.
He makes Roman Reigns look like just a regular, like somebody's
like
dad.
Like a dude. Yeah. And Roman Reigns, I don't know when they shot this. Obviously, he's off of WWE because he is going through like leukemia treatment. But I think they're shooting this now. So it's pretty cool. I like that he did that. So.
Well, and not to bring everybody down, but look how his hair looks kind of thin and straight now. It's not all curly and thick. So, that's a good note to end the show on.
All right. Sorry, Robert, everybody. Big Dog, we're rooting for you. Oh my God. It just popped up that other picture of The Rock. That picture is terrifying.
I know.
I mean, it looks like the Terminator, it can't be real.
You know, that begs the question, like, oh yeah, he did just post that, didn't he? Like, why do they keep making Terminator movies with Arnold Schwarzenegger when clearly here's the perfect reboot
Here's your Terminator.
Here's your Terminator. That thing would kill everyone. That thing.
Oh, he'd Dwayne be a great Terminator. He's almost too good of an actor, though. Like, he's not robotic enough.
He has become too good. You're right.
He would just be kind of smooth. He'd be like, oh, the smooth Terminator.
Yeah. What is fast? This sacred Samoan ground you stand on is nourished with our ancestors' blood. Tonight, we nourish it with yours. Here's a little exclusive from the set of Hobbs and Shaw.
I got the movie idea. Rock versus Terminator.
There you go.
Like an actual, like, just imagine them face to face.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just a robot. It's not even, it's just the, whatever you call it. What do you call the Terminators? No. Like when they're just the robot bodies and heads.
Oh, the exoskeleton? No.
They have.
Sense because that's on the inside.
They have a name.
I don't know what they're called.
Terminator robot.
T-100s? T-8000s? I don't know.
I don't know. There's a name for them, I feel like. They're not just called Terminator. They're called...
Audio animatronics?
No. Like the first ones that take over the... Robot. Someone will tell us. I love Terminator, but I can't remember.
I've lost track.
It's okay. It's coming back.
They made too many.
It's going to come back.
It should have stopped after the second.
It's coming back again. They always say that, just like Ghostbusters, which we didn't talk about either.
I know.
We'll talk about that another day.
That'll be fodder for next week.
We only have 24 months to prep for that or whatever it is, so we'll get to it.
I know. You think you'll be alive?
I hope so.
I know. I'm excited for that.
All right.
Leslie Jones isn't, but I am.
Well, this was a very music heavy, but also a little bit.
It
was. So we talked Max Singer. Music was good. All right. Wrap us up. Yep. How about that?
All right. Well, we still don't have a tagline or a send-off, so thanks for sticking around. Thanks for coming back, I should say. Third show. I think it was good. I'm happy. It's weird being out of studio, but...
we'll be back.
I did explain that when you went to go to the bathroom. I told them that I explained the situation that I'm here freezing. Like, where you at is... Where you at? Where you at, dog? You know where I'm at.
It's very warm.
Where you're at, it's actually warm compared to here.
Yeah, and in the studio, I sweat real bad.
Oh, I know.
It's real hot.
It's wicked.
I don't know why.
We got to do something
a fan
about
or something.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What do we need? Insulation work?
We need to mount some cameras so that we could be on YouTube while we're doing this, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But we're getting there slowly.
What should we call this episode? Sam Busham?
Sam Busham.
Sam Busham and the Pharaohs?
That's fine with me. Fair enough.
All right.
All right, folks. Well, thanks again. And hey, remember, every day is your birthday.